Welcome to the Psych Fit Podcast.
Welcome back to the Relationship Podcast. My name is Georgia. I am a, I'm going to start over.
Hi, Georgia.
Hi. What's that cutie pie? Welcome to the Relationship Podcast. My name is Georgia. I am a therapist with PsychFit Relationship Therapy. And this is episode 3 of series 2. We are talking with Erin Browning about significant relationships. If you haven't caught the first 2 episodes, they should be listed down below. These are in order, so it would be kind of confusing if you missed out. We're so glad that you're back, Erin. Hi.
Hi.
Hi. Welcome back. How are you feeling?
Thank you. I'm good. I never thought we were actually end up talking about my mother's passing as a significant relationship conversation, but I'm glad we did. So yeah, I'm here. Yeah,
so significant. We left off talking about how this period of time in your life where you lost a little bit of connection with yourself, that you were going through the process of grieving your mother's passing and then moving states. So a little bit of a significant move there. And then we still don't know what has happened with ex-husband. So where feels important to start?
Well, let's start with the conclusion, which ex-husband and I are great. You know, we are not in a romantic relationship, but I do consider him to be a VIP in my life and just adore him as a human being, one of my favorites. So that's the conclusion, but how did we get there, right?
What happened? So you moved back to...
Well, so he left me right as my mom was being diagnosed with terminal cancer. And so my reaction to that at the time was, at the time I needed you most, you are abandoning. Mm-hmm. And so while I was, I left and went back home to help care for my mom and the last moments of her, last months of her life. And I would not forgive him for that for a long time. So I held was projecting all my anger about my mom dying on him, right? Almost making it his fault, which was not good. So anytime we had an interaction, because we had a puppy together, and when I did come back and it would, I want to see the puppy, or we would sort of switch weekends or something like that. I was just such an asshole. Just digging in why he, a testament to him and his ability to put up with shit that he even would be around me at that time or engage with me as a human being, because I was not having it, right? Which is not the person I wanted to be. And in retrospect, I hope that was a big learning moment that that's, we're all humans are little aspen trees, right? We're all one thing, with little shoots coming out here and there. And so it's the impact of you being a shit to someone else is you're actually just being a shit to yourself.
The waves of humanity, you see connection in our
lives. Yeah, you're just perpetuating, whether it's generational trauma on your spouse or your children or whatever it happens to be, or the person on the street, you're just passing the shit on, right? And we do that all the time. You get it from other people and then you pass it on, right? And it's that's not cool, right? No. So...
And at this moment, you are in a relationship with significant trauma and significant loss, right? Your thought is not with your roots and your grounding and your tree. You're where?
Yeah.
Buried in work. You're buried in 100 hours of campaigning, and you don't care.
I don't care. And so since I've been back and sort of came out of that cocoon, and it was a slow process, it was really coming back to Colorado and, reconnecting with my soulmates here, my non-romantic soulmates, and meeting 2 of the 3 of them, and then reconnecting with my ride or die, who I live with and own property with.
So wait, Erin, let's slow down.
I've skipped ahead.
You skipped ahead. You have a job that is taking over your life in Idaho. You've gone home. All right. So full zoom out. You were in Montana. You had your first relationship there. You moved to Colorado. You met ex-husband, and then you moved back home to Idaho to take care of your mom when she passed. As you were grieving that significant loss, you move back to Idaho, where you are engaged in a relationship with work, with anger, and with grief.
Yes.
And then what?
And so actually that continued until that continued for 2 years, right, after we broke up with ex-husband and I, right, where I was off gallivanting around running political campaigns and throwing myself into work and just really angry and, you know, not paying attention to myself or not even allowing myself to have time for another relationship, right? I made my friends at that time were the people that I was working with, which is great because, like, and if you're like a progressive person like me and working, you know, politics or social justice or whatever it happens to be, you know, like you sort of like being in the trenches with other people, you develop some really strong relationships. So I was very grateful during that time to have a group of people that I work with that I became very close with that I am still count as incredible friends to this day. So it wasn't all, you know, gloom and doom, right? But I was not prioritizing myself. I wasn't, you know, leaving any space to develop really any significant, potentially romantic relationship.
And at the time, does significant mean romantic to you? Or
Yes. At that time, that was what the definition meant.
And was there any lines that were blurred between dating and friendship in that period, or was it just work?
No, it wasn't until I got back to Colorado and sort of like getting back into myself that I had to deal with the blurring friendship and romance.
Oh, it's coming up. Okay.
Coming up.
So you're in Idaho for the Montana for the second time for a significant period. You get done with the campaign and now we're back in Colorado.
Yes. Cause I know like the pull of Colorado is strong, right? So, you know, I had left Montana to come back down here and I had met ex-husband and my ride or die is here. And I knew like I was coming back, like this is where I need to be. So I did come back here. I did buy a house, moved into it and got a different job post campaigns, got the job that I have now, which is an incredible job, allows me to work in land conservation and, with some incredible people. And yeah, I then over the course of that, you know, since 2017, right? So however long that's been, what is that? However many
5 years?
5 years. I feel like I made peace with ex-husband and I like to think we're an important part of each other's lives.
What does making peace look like for you?
Oh, it was, I mean, I would like to think that it's a much faster process now that I've done it once. It was not a fast process. It was a very slow, begrudging process where I finally let go of the anger and resentment that I had held and was projecting on him, and also realized that I had just as much, or if not more, responsibility for why we broke up than he did, and that I came to appreciate him for who he is, even though we have some differences that mean that we're not, you know, a romantic match, right?
So that process looks like separating the two of you as two individuals, looking at both sides and saying, I can understand where you're coming from and I can understand what my role is.
I mean, will anyone ever understand him? No, I'm kidding. I'm teasing him. No. Yeah. I mean, I think that's true. I think that's true. But I think it's even more of understanding your own role in it, right? Mm. Because we always like judge other people. Like you cannot know what you cannot observe. Part of the relationship conflict in any relationship, whether you're, you know, angry with a customer service person who like won't give you a refund, even though you have a receipt, or your partner is, you can only observe what they say and do, right? Like what are like objective facts in the real world that like somebody standing over there would agree. Yeah. They said X, Y, and Z, or you said X, Y, and Z, or you were making this body language, or they were making this body language, or whatever it happens to be. You don't know what's going on in their head. Mm-hmm. Right? You really don't. And so I've tried to like disengage from trying to make those conclusions, because you throw all of your assumptions on what you think people are thinking and what judgments they have made when you don't know, 'cause unless they said like, this is how I feel. When somebody tells you how they feel, you should believe them, right? Because they said it, like you said, you feel X, right? When I do Y, you feel X. And you should tell people how you feel, right? And you're not supposed to like guess. You should just know, right? Like how many times you're the, well, you should just know that that makes me mad. It's like,
you stopped trying to be magic. Aaron decided, I'm not going to be magic. Magician.
Right. And, not on and, Supernatural, right?
Oh my God, I love that show. 15 seasons. Oh my gosh, you get me. So there's two things I heard there. Tell me if I'm right. The first thing is quit making meaning that might not exist. And the second one is a little bit harder. It's realizing that what's right in front of your face is not the whole story.
Correct.
Okay.
I think that's true. That's my worldview now.
But at the time that you're going through healing from ex-husband, this is what's emerging or something. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. And that process is.
And my relationship with myself really began anew at that time when I got back. Right. You know, it was shortly thereafter that I started working out with a trainer who we both know. Yes. And that really was, I have to say that was as important for my physical health and is as important for my physical health as it is for my mental health. And to be able to have the calmness that comes from after you have worked out, right? And that can be any kind of workout, because I've done a ton of different types of workouts, whether it was like that high intensity, like 20 minutes of really hard pushing on the bike or whatever, or just like lifting weights. I think, you know, there's a combination of the things that you can do, but afterwards that you can actually establish some clarity to be really reflective, right? So, yes, you know, and really get some separation from your negative emotions or whatever happens to be going on in that day. Like if you're stressed out, go take a walk, right? Or go run or go get on the bike or go walk your dog. I don't know. Just do all of those things. Because your brain will be flooded with a chemical. You would know this better than I. Your brain is flooded with chemicals. Your mood will improve, right? And your perspective can hopefully improve. And so I started doing that several times a week. And I really credit that with being able to establish some separation and really start working on myself, right? And prioritizing my relationship with myself, my physical body. And because I hated my body at that time, hated my body. And so you got to love your flesh prison because you're stuck in it for 86, 90 years, however long it's going to be, right? And you have to radically accept how it is and also know that like you can change it. You may not be able to change it into the mistaken ideal that we've all been fed on television and in social media, but you can become healthy, right? And I really feel like I started to become mentally and physically healthy at that time. And so was able to sort of recognize this ex-husband is an incredible human that I want in my life, even if we're not going to be romantic and we've got a dog together and so on. And
so your first relationship was with part of you. And then your second relationship, you included your physical body. Mm-hmm. You started to get into your body, feel what it feels like to clear out the chemicals in your head, to move your muscle. And then you healed yourself, the relationship with yourself that you had severed when you were in Idaho.
Yep.
And then you healed with ex-husband.
Yeah.
And that looked like stepping back and saying, what I see in front of my face is not the whole picture. And I am not magic.
I am not magic. And also owning that, like, you have responsibility as much as, like, any two. We only exist in relationship to each other, right? So, like, you and I have a relationship. My ride or die, that I live having a relationship. And both parties are transactionally like creating the relationship, right? I do something, it affects you. You do something, it affects me, and so on and so forth and so on and so forth. And so you have, as I was sort of realizing, I've come to the realization like, oh, I am 100%, you know, just as much, it's indivisibly, you can't divide. Well, you know, us not being together is 64.3% your fault and the rest of it is my fault. Like whatever. No, it's like, you can't do that. And also like, I have no, you know, I'm so thankful for the relationship that we had and do have. And I wouldn't change that for the world. And you'll be in a much happier place if you can figure out how to appreciate that, especially if you have, you know, relationships either that you're in right now or that maybe aren't the way that you want, or the relationships that you've been in the past, right? Like we talked about this before, where it's like, you have to be grateful for everything. If you like, you want to be alive and you need to be grateful. You know, like there's, I don't know who said, I've heard this being attested to Einstein. And I don't know if that's true or not. It's like, you have two ways to live your life. One is that there, that nothing is a miracle. And the other is that everything is a miracle. And mm-hmm. I choose the latter, mm-hmm. right? And so everything that happens to you, you should be able to appreciate because it's making who you are today, you know?
That makes so much more sense with what you said in the beginning, that every single thing in episode one, that every single thing that you do is important because of who exactly you are now. Mm-hmm. That if you find someone amazing and they are a significant relationship in your life and it doesn't work out, that that doesn't mean you've failed. And then if you cut them out of your life, you're just cutting out how you relate to humanity.
Right.
That's the relationship. Help me make that more what you were saying.
Yeah. I mean, I think there are some people that I know that get in a relationship with somebody like, and you know, one reason not to have social media, but tell you a story has happened to somebody I know, and I won't say who, where this person got into a relationship with somebody, you know, they changed their Facebook status or whatever. And then, you know, a little bit of time passes and that person's partner basically demands that they go back and delete every picture of them with some other romantic partner from the past. And now Facebook's been around enough that that is actually a really hard thing to do. It's and, you know, it. Some of the people who use Facebook don't know how to do that, even like from a technical perspective. And so they were like, well, A, I don't even know how to do that. And B, it doesn't seem like that's the right perspective that you should have to the people who have been in your life that have helped made you who you are. I don't say right or wrong. I'm not sure that that's the most effective perspective for being able to love yourself and the other partner. Like you have to accept their whole history, right? Yeah. And you have to accept your own whole history.
Their whole history.
Yeah, like if you're going to have a bunch of like, oh, I don't like this, that, and the other thing about what this person did in the past, or I don't like this, that, and the other thing. I have so much regret about the past. Let's get super spiritual, but right, like all that exists is the present moment, mm-hmm. right? That's it. And so all of that baggage that you are feeling about things that happened in the past are happening now, right? Like that feeling is something that you are holding onto something that no longer exists. Right.
So the mistaking of current experience for past experience is
you are hanging on to, like when we do this human nature, right? It's really hard to like, I'm in a lot of meditation to try and figure out and therapy and all the things to try and figure out that you can be a lot happier if you figure out how to let go of those traumatic experiences or negative experiences or regrets of the past and appreciate for how they have made you who you are right now.
Right. I mean, that is so the thing, isn't it? If deleting the past history off of your Facebook were to delete the actual event, I understand why someone would ask for that. But getting to the bottom of the pain that someone feels when they see you in a photograph with someone else enjoying, you know, Machu Picchu or your favorite ice cream store is...
You can totally see this photo, right?
Like I can. As they're flipping.
You're like, you clicking. It's you at the like vegan ice cream shop.
Oh, you did my favorite flavor.
Right.
Right. And that segue
of
being, what was it like to experience that? Or what is it like for you to experience seeing me with that is such a better gateway.
Right.
But I'm curious where you are in this healing process and then what significant relationships have morphed into for you and where you are.
Yeah. Now. Like to where we started, like my most significant relationship now is like with myself, right? Like I've been working a lot on that, you know, that, and especially like during the pandemic, when the pandemic started, we had an opportunity because our bubbles got so much smaller to really focus on the significant intimate relationships that you have, whether that's your children or your parent or your siblings or whoever that would be in your bubble, so to speak, or your very close friends or your romantic partner. You know, some people being that close together, they realize like, this isn't working out. And I know people who got a divorce in the pandemic because they were stuck in the same house for so long with each other.
And often someone told them that was not a failure.
Yeah, that's not a failure, right? Like, it's probably good for both of you, right? Like, like, if you're so unhappy. But I think that the healing that came was really like, we were invited to really do some self-reflection at that period of time. Like, how important is work, mm-hmm. right? In the grand scheme of things, how important are your individual relationships? Are you prioritizing yourself? So when we were stuck and couldn't really leave, you know, I had two things left, right? It was working out when, and you know this story, right? Because that's how we got introduced to each other. And the sort of like nightly yoga practice with my housemate, ride or die bestie, mm-hmm. What we would do at the end of the night, we'd come and do like this very gentle 15, 20 minutes of yoga every night. And like, that's restorative mentally and like physically as well. And so a lot of introspection happened as a result of that. And I'd like to think that that has that plus a lot of therapy, which I hope, you know, the pandemic is realizing, helping people realize they need, everyone should have a therapist. Everyone should have a psych fit or any kind of psych. Everyone needs someone who can have that kind of, be that kind of advocate. And it's not, doesn't have any equities in the relationship, right? That they don't, they're, you know, they're just there for you, right?
It's a luxury and a necessity at the same time.
It is. Like, we need to make it a lot more accessible than it is and a lot less stigmatized than it is. But in any case, so I've been doing a lot of work on myself since then. And I like to think, I still got work to do because we all, it's like, it's not a process that ever ends, right? It's a process of constant change. One door closes or you feel like you've wrapped up something and then something else you realize you need to, you know, work on in your own life or in a relationship with somebody else. And so I like to feel like I'm in a place where I'm much happier and I'm with myself and I'm much happier in, like, I got three soulmates, right? Like, and I really feel that. And I feel like really close to them. I just feel really content about that. And I also like, yeah, I would like a romantic partner. Yes, absolutely. So and they have to come to me now, I think. So that has to work.
How did you know that I was going to ask? I was like, how is this going to happen? Tell me, Aaron, how a podcast about significant relationships led to understanding that significant relationships for you are almost like the base level. Like you go so much higher than that. Your ride or die, your soulmates are beyond significant relationships to you. It's almost like you said, significant relationship is the base level of interaction that I'm willing to have with people.
Kind of. Yeah. Now. I mean, we all have it. You know, like everything is a relationship, right? You go to the store and you're buying and you have a momentary relationship with that cashier or your barista or your Uber driver, right? And you should treat those people with loving kindness because you are them, they are you, right? That's very meta, but we can get into that another time. But the ones that that really matter to me at this point are those ones that are like, they're real close, yeah. around which I don't really have a filter, right? They see the unvarnished me, right? Not that so I really am varnished, but.
Right. There is no end game. It was just before you got to know yourself, it seemed like the next thing and the next thing and the next thing. And now it's right now, right now, right now.
Yeah. Like, let's see where this goes, shall we?
Shall we?
Shall we? Yeah. Shall we? That's kind of the, you know, like that's the mantra I'm trying to adopt now.
So you're,
it's a consistent practice though. Like you gotta, it's hard. I think.
Gosh. I agree. How is this evolution? Tell me about the input that you have. What's the input that you have to continue to keep you here and here and here to keep you where you want to be?
Tell me more about what you mean by input, you know, like my practices that I'm trying to use to like maintain it. I mean, I think the physical aspect of it, like the physical fitness aspect of it is really, really important, right? I have a dog, I have a 1-year-old dog now. People are like, what about all these dogs, right? So I also have a 7-year-old now with the ex-husband, right? But she lives with him. But so I get like visitation rights and things like that. I have a dog that passed away during the pandemic. And then my present dog is a year old. And I have to say they live 100% in the present moment. They carry no baggage, right? They're like, what happened 3 minutes ago? I don't even remember, right? Like a second for them is like 1 second for us is like a year for them or something. Like it's not even funny, right? And so they are a consistent reminder, especially when they're young and you're working from home as many are. It's like, they'll come bring the bone and put it in your lap. They're like, hey, I don't care what, you know, where your diffuse thoughts are going. You're like, play with the bone now, please. Right. Mm-hmm. And so I think like, you know, it's easy to get mindless about that. But if you like pay attention to them, which you have to do when you're sort of like training them, it's like, oh yeah, this is like a great mindfulness practice. And like our relationship is about him bringing me back, my dog, to the present moment. So it's like working out. It's like the dog. And he also like get out of the house. Like you have to leave the house, especially when they're young and he's a lab and he's energetic. It's like, we are walking for 30 minutes, three times a day. We are doing that. And you meet people on the street, and now in the post-pandemic, they're like, hey, how's it going? You know, like, whereas before you would just like, you know, head down, walk past. So you like, you have all of these sort of like present moment interactions that we're able to have now, or at least I've had the good fortune to have, that I think really help. And then I would try and encourage like some people to do like a mindfulness practice, right? And that can be reading. There's a ton of reading. You can listen to podcasts. You could listen to audiobooks. You know, you could go to a seminar. I have a friend and colleague who did like a whole breath work class for mindfulness. I was like, that's cool. So you got to find some aspect of that where you're like, I'm going to have self-care and I'm going to work on being able to pay attention to what's going on right now, because that's all that there is.
And I am not going to lose my significant relationship with myself.
With myself. Right. I'm not.
And when someone says, who's a good boy, you're going to know.
Right.
It's you.
It's me.
And that's what we've learned from Aaron's dog.
Right.
Wow, Aaron. So a podcast that was going to start as significant, how is our relationship with the environment significant to actually, I need to know more. I need to know what significant relationships mean to you and who you are and how these significant relationships have shaped you. And the stage where you are in life right now is they've shaped me into a person who has significant relationships and higher.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And who understands that I don't need to be fixed. I just need to be present. And yeah.
Yeah. You are, it's so cheesy, but it's like, you're perfect the way you are. Right.
Oh, you know, but I'm looking at
everything is as it should. Everything is as it should be right now.
Yes.
Right. You have to radically accept that. And that's hard, because it doesn't mean you have to say, I don't have hopes and dreams or preferences for something different. It's that toddler, I think maybe you and I have talked about this before, who said like, well, I don't particularly enjoy when you take my toy, right? Or something like that. So you can like, don't particularly enjoy it, and also radically accept that the moment that there is everything that has happened in your life and in the people's lives who brought you into this world has led you to the moment that you are in right this very second. Mm-hmm. And it is not possible for you to be anywhere else. Yeah. And so how are you going to feel knowing that? Are you going to pay attention to, oh, I didn't like how that was back then? Or are you going to let that go? And are you going to focus on the relationships that you have in the here and now, and how you can see just the incredible diversity of human nature, all of the possible incredible interactions that you could have with people, and enjoy that. And then with yourself, and be like, wow, where is this going? What is going to happen next? I have no idea. And approach it with like an idea of curiosity.
That right? Curiosity, that's exactly what I saw in your face just then.
Yeah.
Is saying what you mean, making sure you get what you need in life, but actually understanding what that is because you're curious.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Aaron, wow. I appreciate you so much. And
no, I appreciate you so much.
Thank you for reminding me that we really only are our connections, because
right.
I feel like as you were saying that, I wanted to like mouth the words to connect with it, because it was so meaningful. But I'm behind this huge microphone, so I probably just look like crazy eyes. But I just thank you for your story and just the power.
To be continued, the rest is unwritten, right?
Yeah. And hopefully when it is written, I'll get to hear about it.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, I appreciate you and cherish you. Well, and
thank you for having me.
Yeah,
this has been fun.
Thank you for being here. This was huge for me to be able to connect with you and
likewise
and have a significant conversation. Thanks, Aaron.
Thanks.
You matter. Your story matters, and we want to hear from you. To submit a question or connect, email georgia@psychready.com, georgia@psych, ready.com and download our episodes. Connect with us. Stay involved. We're so excited that you're here.